Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore, and of course, therefore means there's a whole lot ahead of it that we didn't look at, that we'll have to reconsider, but not tonight. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So being in Christ, having our sins washed away, having our Savior, Jesus Christ, we are not condemned. How many of us have guilt? And so we have guilt, and so there are things we wish we had done, things we wish we had not done, and so we carry guilt. But even with that guilt, the Bible says we're not condemned. Because Jesus saved us, because our sins are washed away. Again, I go back to this because it was quite a revelation to me as someone was expressing their guilt and their shame and how they were unworthy of God's love. And by the way, we all are unworthy. And I said, well, I checked and the slate's clean. There's no record of your sin because Jesus died for your sin. He washed your sins away, and when you accepted Him as your Savior and confessed Him as your Lord, He washed your sins away. You are not condemned. We don't have to walk around in that feeling of condemnation. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. For what the law could not do, I like that. I'm glad to know that the law couldn't do it. Because if I thought the law could do it, it would give me a backup plan. How many of you have ever tried a backup plan on anything, right? I always think about Brother Ronnie when we'd work. He'd say, I have to back up and punt. We lost this round, have to try again. And that's what happens. We have to have a backup plan. So if I ever got to the point where I thought, well, I can't go by the grace of God, or I can't deserve the grace of God, which I know I can't, then I'll try to work my way there. You can't work your way there. The law won't do it. The law is not to make us perfect. The law is not to make us righteous. The law is there to expose us as unrighteous, to show us how incapable we are of doing that work. The law could not, in that it was weak through the flesh. It depends on the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness. You see, it didn't say in sinful flesh, did it? But in the appearance, in the likeness, just like us, except without sin. The likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the law is not fulfilled by the flesh. Remember in Galatians, Paul addresses the church there in modern-day Turkey, and he said, have you come to God by the Spirit, and now you're going to perfect your Christianity by the flesh? It doesn't work that way. By the flesh, we cannot accomplish these things. And that's hard for us to comprehend, because the only thing we can see and the only thing we can show others is what? The flesh. What's on the outside? What we do. But I got news for you. What's inside shows on the outside. You can't hide your composure. You can't hide what you feel. If it's joy, you can't hide it. And so it's hard for us to comprehend that it could be obtained or contained by the Spirit without the flesh. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's where it all is. That's the key. Now we have to examine ourselves. I have to examine myself, and you have to examine yours, because I can't see your spirit. Now, I know what your spirit motivates you to do. I know what your energy, your personality does on the outside, but I don't even know people's intentions sometimes. Do you? We don't know sometimes. Somebody say, I didn't mean to do that. Today I was, there were two guys that were talking, and one of them was talking, and the other guy interrupted. And he said, I'm sorry, and then he kept talking. Now, he meant I'm sorry to interrupt you. He didn't mean I'm sorry that I interrupted you. So he just didn't stop. So he wasn't really sorry, was he?
No.
He just kept talking even though he interrupted. So carnality, the carnal, the flesh, yields temporary gratification. And we have to examine our desires. Is this motivation? Is this desire? Do I want more things of God, things of the Spirit, things of heaven? Or do I more desire things of the flesh? Satisfaction of the flesh. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Spiritually minded. To mind things of the Spirit. To mind things of heaven. To mind things of God. But if our mind is never on those things, something's wrong. If our mind, if our desire, if our motivations are weighed more heavily toward the fleshly things, toward worldly experiences than they are toward God, something's wrong. I asked somebody yesterday, do you think you need to check yourself? Do you think you need to do a self-examination on what it is that you desire? I'm not saying that you never have worldly desires. I'm not saying that you never want things that... And they're not sinful. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about earthly things. And if we desire earthly things more and more often than we desire heavenly things, we need to check ourselves. We need to examine our... I'm looking at Romans chapter 8. That's what it tells me. That's what it says to me. Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now what he's not saying that as long as we're alive here we can't please God. That's not what he's saying. Because we are all in the flesh, aren't we? But he's talking about the mind. He's talking about the motivation. He's talking about the desire. He's talking about the affections. Verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh." Aren't they in the flesh? So we know that that's not... We know that he's not directly looking at them and saying, y'all are not human. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you are not, because there's a difference in your nature. You see, the old creature, the old creation, the old nature was buried. It died and we buried it. And we rose in a newness of life, the Bible says. A new creature. A new creation. So you are not in the flesh, verse 9, "but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." Wow. I can't see that. I don't know you. You say, well, Brother Derek, you do. But I don't know that. The only one I know that saved and hears me. Now, by your testimony and by your lives, I believe you are. But you're the only one who can know that. I'm asking you tonight, examine that. Make sure you are, because it's of eternal consequence. Haven't you ever met somebody that played church? That played nice? Have you ever met somebody that played church and didn't play nice? But we don't know their motivations. I know of deacons throughout the years. I've had people that I grew up with. How many of you grew up in a church that had somebody like that? They just fussed about everything. And thought it... There was a woman one time that told the preacher, "It's my job to annoy you." She believed she was God called. There are a lot of people like that. But that's not... Look, I don't know your motivations and you don't know mine. How many pastors have we seen that played nice for many years and then robbed the church? Or played nice for many years and then ran off with somebody in the church? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. And you say, well, Brother Derek, you're being silly. But the point is this. You're the only one who can know. We're going to get to another point here in just a minute. It's going to open that up. Look at verse number 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So I challenge you, because you've got to know is Jesus in you. You've got to know that. If we realize that our desires are not aligned with God's Word, we need to surrender to Him and learn His ways. I'm not saying give up, I'm saying get in line. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is... Sister Charlotte has these puppets in the closet back here. Are they alive? What gives them life? All right? Somebody gets up in them. That's what it's about. The body's dead. But the life that's in it, the life that comes into it. See, that's what we're talking about, is that we laid ourselves down in the waters of baptism and Jesus gave us that newness of life. Verse 11, but the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. If you will, go to verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, what I'm not doing tonight is trying to put you into jeopardy of your salvation and make you question your own salvation. You know if you're saved or not. But my point is, you have to know that. None of this hope-so stuff. None of this maybe-so stuff. Know it. But you got to know it. And then you have in that in your spirit, it says, we cry, Abba, Father. You know what that means? That means we have a desire toward God. Do you have a desire toward God when you wake up in the morning? Do you have a desire to acknowledge God before you go to bed tonight? Won't you have a desire to say goodnight to the Lord? At some points throughout the day, don't you have a desire to just talk to Him and spend time with Him? That's what we're talking about. I love it when Ben comes home from school and he comes running in there. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. That's that verse. That desire to be with the Father. And we have that desire to be with the Father. That's what shows us. We have access to God through prayer. Through awareness. Prayer is when we talk to Him. That awareness that I speak of is when we stop and listen. When we're sensitive to God's voice. When we want to hear from Him. We need to hear from Him. We need to feel His presence. Verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You ever doubt your salvation? At some point in your life, did you ever wonder, am I really saved? You know what you do when you wonder if you're really saved? You go to the Spirit. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, am I really saved? And the Holy Spirit says, you're saved. The Spirit bears witness. The Holy Ghost tells us we're saved. The Holy Spirit of God confirms in us that we are saved. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, this is a two-tone text. In the one sense, how many of us can look back at troubles in our lives and say, man, that was nothing. Right? But at the time, it felt like it was the world ending. That's in the one sense. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Look at this. Which shall be revealed in us. Here's the problem. A lot of us are waiting for that second tone, that second layer of the verse. A lot of us are waiting for that glory to be revealed in us when we get to heaven. But we don't have to wait to get to heaven for the glory of God to be revealed in us. We can enjoy God's strength and peace and comfort and love and hope and forgiveness and joy and celebration and worship. We can enjoy God now. That's the first layer. The second layer is, no matter how bad life is, it's not compared. When we get to heaven, it'll be so good that we won't even remember that stuff. It's not comparable. We can't even, when we get there, it won't matter. It's going to be so rich and so wonderful there that none of this is going to matter. None of the hard times. It'll release every memory of the struggle. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brother Bassett nailed it. And you know, we'll be able to say that about everybody in this room. And all those we've lost so far. When Elijah went to heaven, remember this? The chariot came down and got him. Everywhere that Elisha went that day, people said, you know he's going to heaven. You know why? Because Elijah told him, I'm going to heaven. Now let me ask you a question. Who's the last person you told? When it's your turn, are we going to wonder? Or do we know? Because you've told us. Because you've assured us. I'm going to heaven. And we long. Boy, I tell you what. I said yesterday, we say, well, I don't want all that stuff until it comes time. And then we fight with everything we got to stay here. And that's the reality of it. Because all that we know, there's still this longing to hang on to what's here. But in the spiritual sense, there is this longing to let go of this and be there. Verse 20, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subjected the same, in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look, we want to get out of sin. Again, first layer. Now, getting out of sin. How many people do you know that are just disgusted with their lives? I told you Sunday, and I reiterated it several times this week to people that, you know, we treat things as psychological or medical, and that's fine, because sometimes they are. But when we neglect to address the spiritual part of it, we cannot heal the whole person. Because, you see, the person, the body, I and you, are trichotomies. We're three in one. We have bodies, the physical. We have minds, the mental, most of us. And we have spirits, the spiritual. Just like God. You were waiting for it, weren't you? Just like God. You see, there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. And so, we are all in that same sense. What did the Bible says that He made Him in our image. God made man in His image, which means mind, body, and soul. We cannot treat just the medical, just the psychological, without treating the spiritual. We won't fix them that way. We talk about our brothers, whether it's military or law enforcement or fire, all these first responders and the stuff that we see. And it haunts and it's there. And so 22 military veterans a day take their own lives. You see, it's because we're treating it psychologically and medically, but we're missing the spirit. They need spiritual help. And so we get to a point in the struggle and we say, I want to be free from this struggle. And Jesus is the answer. By the way, I don't think that I believe, because I know it's the case, that they carry it even when they're saved. But Jesus walks with them, and that's the difference. We know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. He said, we're saved, and we still struggle. You see, so I'm not saying that once you get saved, you won't have the struggle. I'm just saying Jesus will be with you. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We want to go to heaven. For we are saved by hope. Hope that is not seen. Hope that is seen is not hope. Think about this. We need hope. Three things we need, right, to thrive: hope, love, forgiveness. We need hope. If you don't have hope, you can't thrive. How many of you have ever hoped for something? All right? You hoped he'd propose, and he did. Or you hoped she would, and she did. Right? And so you hoped. Retraction. And so you hoped and it happened. How many of you ever hoped to get a job and you got it? Or you hoped to get a raise and you got it? Or you hoped to get a whatever and you got it? Well, guess what? Once you got it, that's no longer hope. Because you can see it. So you got to have something new to hope for. And when you have something new to hope for, you always reach out beyond. And maybe it's completely different. But you got to have hope. And then he talks about this great hope. Because there's this great hope that outshines all other hope and outlasts all other hope. Because it will be hope until we get there. We're never going to realize or fulfill or satisfy that hope. So it'll always be there until we get there. And once we get there, there'll be no need for hope anymore. Because that will be eternity. What a man seeth, why does he hope for? Verse 25, if you hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And we know that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't think I could come tonight. Because I didn't feel like praying or singing or preaching. But I knew this. I knew that that hope would help me. I knew that if I could find, there's a song, where should I go but to the Lord? Is it going to help me to sit at home and stare out the window? It's not. It's not going to help me. I didn't shed a tear till I got here. Because I have to be strong. I have to be ready. I have to go forward. I get all that. But see, this is a safe place. And in this safe place, I can't hide it. I can't bury it. I may be able to suppress it a little bit. I get it. It's heartbreaking. It takes the life right out of you. But we can't die with them. We must go. It's not the first time. It's a devastating loss. I can't even say what's in my heart. I just won't be able to. But I knew if there was any place I needed to be, it was here with you. And if I knew there was anything I needed to do tonight, it was to preach and to pray and to sing. Hope remains. I know that we all, look, if we didn't want to go to heaven, we wouldn't get saved, right? But we're all going to go. And so we just need to live this life as long as we can. I am grateful. If there's anything to be positive about in this, it is that Sister Melba had the independence that she desired right up to the end. And there's something to that. I'm glad she had that. Let's stand. And